Father, we thank you so much for your word, Lord. Thank you for the privilege of having copies of your word. Thank you for the privilege of having your written word so prevalent around us, Lord. Lord, that it's so easy to get a Bible, that we can have a Bible here where we live. And Lord, some of us have multiple copies of the Bible. Lord, some of us get on the computer, can go to it anytime, anywhere. Some of us can get on it on phones. And Lord, we just thank you for surrounding us with your word. We can turn on Christian radio, Faith Radio, and K-Love, and at different times we can hear your word. And we just thank you for the privilege, Lord, because your word is living. It's active. Lord, you've told us, you speak through it. You've revealed yourself and your ways and your expectations. It's much more like a phone than a book. It's how we hear from you. So right now, speak to us through your word. Thank you for your message that you have for us. Lord, get me out of the way. And Lord, let us hear your word and what you have for us. Apply it to our lives. Speak it into our hearts. And may we go and do it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That's a very famous verse. That's a very popular verse. You may have heard that a number of times before in your life. That it might be the first time you're hearing it. But what a wealth of God's truth that he has for us there. And I'm for some reason with me, I guess some of the things I delight the most in is food. And I just when I think of that verse, I can imagine what it means to delight in something, to get happy about something, and God wants us to do that with him. But that's just one of the D's that we want to look at today in God's word in Psalm 37 verses 1-9. I tried to make it as easy as possible for you to remember and take some of these things with you. So they're all D's this morning, but that's one. Delight yourself in the Lord. But let's look this morning at trust and do. There's a first D, do. Trust and do. Trust and do. Turn with me if you have a Bible. If you need one, there's one in the chair next to you. If you're new at this, this is in the Old Testament, so that's Old Testament's about the first two-thirds of the Bible. And just turn to the middle of the Bible and turn back a little bit, and you'll start seeing the Psalms. If you're new at this, spelled with a P-S-A-L-M. Look at Psalm 37. And let's look at these first nine verses and keep in mind how God wants us to trust and do. Listen to God's word. It's a psalm of David. David is the author, King David, God's shepherd who later became king. And he writes this, but God writing through him, the Holy Spirit writing through him. Do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Trust and do. Let's go through some of these D's. First of all, don't fret. There's your first D, don't. Don't fret. That's what God's telling us right here at the beginning. Don't fret. We see it in verses 1 and 2. Do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. And then we also see it in 7b. That's the second half of verse 7. on through verse 8. You see that don't fret a couple more times. Look at that. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. Don't fret. That's our first D. God does not want us to fret. Don't fret. Well, what does that mean? What does fret mean? Well, it's to cause to worry or distress, to be worried about something, distressed about something, fretting over it. That's what it means. And the connotation here, when you look at the Hebrew word for it here, it's also kind of an anger, to be concerned and worried and kind of angry about something. And why is that mentioned here? Because of these evil people. How are they getting it good? What's going on here? Do not fret. Don't be worried and concerned or even angry because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. Don't look around you and people who don't even know the Lord and be envious of them and say, oh, why do they have that? You know, I'm like this. I'm following the Lord. And don't do that. Don't be envious and don't compare yourselves to others. Always just compare yourself to Jesus. Don't, it's unhealthy. Don't ever compare yourself to other people. Compare yourself to Him and what He wants for you. But don't be envious. Don't fret, be concerned and worried about evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. Why? Look at verse 2. You know the end for them. If they don't repent and if they don't repent and turn and come to Jesus, you know the end for them in verse 2. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Don't be envious of them. Don't fret. And you know, we can take that don't fret. And I'm reminded of verse 8. Don't fret. It leads only to evil. Just think about being worried or stressed. God doesn't want that, does He? Jesus taught on it in Matthew 6. He taught us how not to be worried. God tells us over and over in His Word, don't worry about anything. Philippians 4, 6. Somebody just this past Wednesday night, somebody was having some anxiety and they shared that, and we got to pray for them and share that verse, Philippians 4, 6. And then 1 Peter 5, 7, Philippians 4, 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What does God tell us? Man, every time I get worried about something, probably just about every time I think the Lord leads me to that verse and I start praying through that verse. What does God tell us to do in that verse? As soon as we start getting worried about something, go ahead and give thanks. So when I get worried about something, I start basically, I think it was last night I woke up and I was kind of worried about something. And that's what God's saying to do there. As soon as you get worried about something, I need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for this opportunity to trust you. I'm worried about this thing. But hey, I have an opportunity to trust you and see you work and see your miraculous power, see how you're going to work this thing out. Thank you. With thanksgiving. Thank you for this opportunity to see your power, see you work, for me to trust you right here. And then you bring your request. And so, Lord, I ask you, I need to see you do it. Help me here, do this, do that. And you replace your worry with prayer. 1 Peter 5, 7 tells us, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. God tells us in the Psalms again, cast your cares on the Lord and He will sustain you. God doesn't want you worried about anything. Here's what I like to do. One time I was fishing with John Allen when he was little in the Gulf of Mexico on one of those long piers that went way out. I think we were in Panama City. And we were casting off, and the Lord gave me some thoughts and a vision there that day that helps me with worry to this day. And it's just doing what God said, but He just kind of gave me a visual picture of it. God says, cast your cares on the Lord and He will sustain you. So you know what I do? I see myself on that pier with John Allen fishing it, and whatever I'm concerned about and worried about, I take all that thing, and it's like a big ball of bait. You ever fished with catfish bait before? You can ball this little nasty, smelly thing up on a little hook. Well, I just take all my worries and cares, and I get them, because they're nasty and smelly, aren't they? God doesn't want us worried about anything. I like to take all those worries, whatever it is, I'm worried about this person, and what am I going to say here, and my own life, and this. I just ball all that stuff on Jesus' hook. And then I actually see Jesus taking that fishing pole, and I just put all my worries on his hook and let it fall. And Jesus just kind of looks at me with this grin, just smile, and he just kind of swings that thing back two or three times, and he just goes, whoosh, and that thing flies out and sinks down in that gulf. Beautiful, gorgeous water, and I can't even see it anymore. And it's kind of like that gulf is the Lord. And what did I do? I let Jesus do it. But what happened? I just cast all your cares on the Lord. It's kind of like the Lord's that gorgeous gulf because he's big, you know. That thing's huge as far as you can see in every direction. And what did I do? I just cast all my cares on him, and they just sank down. I don't even see him anymore. I don't even have him anymore. And then it's kind of like Jesus looks back at me and he says, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it all. I'll fix it all. And then he says, and he will sustain you. And I look out there at that gulf, and I see how big that is, and I'm like, wow, he just said he'll take care of it, he'll fix it, and he'll sustain me. As big as that gulf is, all that'll sustain little old me. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about it. And then I think about how he works all things together for good, and then it's kind of like Jesus looks back at me and he says, don't worry, I'm going to take it all, and I'm going to work it all out for everybody's good around you and for my glory. Because that's what he does. Romans chapter 8:28. And so, don't fret. Instead, trust and do. That's what God wants. Don't fret. Instead, trust and do. And that's our next D is do. So, don't fret. Instead, trust the Lord and do. We see in verse 3, we see, trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust and do. Trust in the Lord. Think about that. How much do you trust in the Lord? How hard do you lean on him in things? I was reading something yesterday just about trusting in the Lord. And it's all up to you how much you want to trust in him. But man, he loves great faith. And the more you want to trust in him, the more the Lord just loves that. And the more you'll see him work, the more you trust in him. He wants us to lean on him with all of our weight, with all that we are, to where if he lets us go, we don't have anything else to stand in. We're going to fall straight down. He wants us to fully trust in him, lean on him wholeheartedly with all of our weight. Kind of like in a youth group. Maybe you've stood on a platform stage before and the whole youth group got behind you. It's called a trust fall. And you just had to turn around backwards and shut your eyes and you just had to hold your hands out. And when you're ready, you had to totally trust in that youth group. You just had to let yourself fall and trust that they would catch you. If they didn't catch you, you might be dead, I guess. If it's concrete floor, I don't know. But you totally trust. God wants us to lean on him like that, completely trust in him with no backup plan, no second plan. Well, if he doesn't come through, I'll have this. I got this on the side, and I got this. And just wholly trusting in him. Trust in the Lord and do good. So trust in him like that and then do good. Do good. Well, what does that mean? Do whatever he tells you to do. That's good. Whatever the Lord wants, whatever his word tells you to do, do it. Whatever he tells you in your spirit to do, do it. That's good. He's good. Whatever he says is good. Whatever he says is the best for you. So when you don't know what to do, well, I don't know what to do in this situation. I don't know what to do. I don't know what I should do here. Well, you need to do good. Well, how do I know it? I don't know what to do. Well, that's when you go to him. He says, in James, he tells us, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously without finding fault, and you'll have it. But he says, believe and don't doubt. Don't doubt. You'll be like somebody tossed back and forth on the sea. But ask for wisdom. God, I don't know what do you want me to do here? Ask for wisdom. He promises to give it to you generously. Believe him for it. Trust in him fully. Believe him for it. He said, trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Like Caleb and Joshua and Moses and David and Joseph, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Well, if you're trusting in him, all you got to do is acknowledge him and he'll make your path straight. He promised you. So if you don't know what to do, there's so often I don't know what to do about something. I just write it down in my prayer journal. And I'm either going to hit it that afternoon. I'll have a prayer time in the afternoon or in the morning or whatever. And I'll be praying about that thing until I get his answer, until you know what to do. And trust in the Lord and acknowledge him with all your heart. He'll make your path straight. So if you're trusting in him and you acknowledge him, you say, Jesus, I don't know what to do here. I got to make the decision right now. The time's up. I don't know what to do. And I'm looking to you. And he said, if you acknowledge him, if you look to him, he'll make your path straight. You'll choose the right thing. So don't fret. Instead, trust and do. And the next D is dwell. Dwell. And all these are after trusting. Don't fret and then trust and do all of these next D's. Trust in the Lord and do good. And next, dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. That's what we see still in verse 3, the second part of verse 3. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Well, David, the guy that God used here to pin his word, he was a shepherd before he was a king, and he knows what it means to shepherd sheep and to watch over sheep, and God used him to write Psalm 23, give us Psalm 23, and David knew what it meant to shepherd sheep, and these sheep are dumb animals, and they can't defend themselves, and they can't help themselves, and they are completely dependent on a shepherd. And the shepherd keeps them in the areas they're supposed to be, keeps them safe, and he lets them enjoy green pasture. So a good shepherd keeps all the sheep need to stay together. Hear that, church. Don't do Hebrews 10:24 and forsake the meeting together of the believers. Don't get off by yourself somewhere and stay away from the believers. We're sheep. God wants us to all stay together as much as possible. Be together. We're a body. Be together. But the good shepherd shepherds the sheep and he keeps them all together. And he's got all the areas that he knows of. And he keeps them safe. They're in these boundaries of their sheep pen or you know, wherever they are. And then he'll lead them to green pastures and he'll be watching out for them. He'll keep them all safe in this area right here. And God tells us that. He says, dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. What? Trust in the Lord. Lean on him wholeheartedly. And then when you're doing that, dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Know he's your good shepherd, Psalm 23. Know that he's taking care of you. He's watching over you. He's watching all the boundaries. And you can dwell in his safety. You can dwell in the land, the place that he has you. And it might be a scary, terrible place. But it's okay because your shepherd's there. He's there with you. Even if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. You see, he's right there, and he's watching over everything. And so he says, dwell in the land. Even if it's a scary environment where people are getting killed or whatever, dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Enjoy safe pasture. Know that he's taking care of you. Dwell in the land. Live there. The word dwell means live. Live there. God tells us in Psalm 91:1, he says in Psalm 91:1, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Dwell in his land. Trust in him. Dwell, live in the place that he has for you, in what he wants for you. Dwell in the land. We need to dwell in him. Dwell in him. He is our home. God is our home. We need to dwell in him, live in him. And that's in that place of protection. When we do Psalm 91:1 and we dwell in the, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, that's trusting in the Lord, dwelling, will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I was at Jackson Hospital the other day, and I came in. It was in the morning, so the sun was shining behind me, and the volunteer worker was sitting right there. And my shadow was right, the sun was right in her eyes, just shining right on her. If I moved, the sun was right on her, but I could go like that, and I could see my silhouette on her, and I would totally cover up. And she was trying to look up the number, and I could tell when I was like that, I was helping her out, and I could go like that, and she, oh, you know, she's looking for that thing. I said, you know what this is like, ma'am? I said, look, you see how my shadow's covering you? Have you ever read Psalm 91:1? He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. You know, that's what it's, when we dwell in the Lord and we trust in Him, He's pretty big, and His shadow just covers it. We just rest in His shadow because He's before us, and He's big. Trust and do good. Trust and dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Next, trust and delight. Delight is the next D. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. The Hebrew word there's aneg, and it means to be happy about. Take exquisite delight, to make merry over, to make sport of. Delight yourself in the Lord. Be extremely happy over Him, like I am with food. Maybe there's something. I got to go out to eat last night, so I was delighting in getting to go out to eat, and we got to drive around and think of all the places that were possibilities, and finally chose one, and whatever you delight in, however you delight in it, apply that to the Lord. Get excited about Him. Get happy about Him. Delight yourself in Him. Trust in Him and delight in Him. Next, deliver. That's the next D. Trust in the Lord and deliver. Deliver what? Deliver your way to Him. Deliver your way to Him. That is your path, where you're going, what you're supposed to be doing. When you wake up in the morning, at whatever time you wake up, God has a path lined out for you throughout that day. From your waking hour until, if it's His will that you stay on the earth all that day and He doesn't come back or you don't pass away, and if He's got a will for you throughout that whole day, He's got a path that He wants you to be on and stay on. He's got plans. Ephesians 2:10 says that you are His workmanship. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God has prepared in advance for you to do. So before you even wake up in the morning, God's already prepared all these good works. From the time you get up, He's prepared all everything He wants you to do, everything He wants you to walk in until you lay your head down that night. That's your path. That's your way. This next day is deliver. Deliver your way to Him. Give it all to Him. Give Him your path. Give Him your day. Give Him your time. Give Him your all so that you have His path. So trust and deliver. That's what we see. He says, commit your, verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will do this. Commit your, deliver your way to Him. Give your way to Him. The word commit here, galal, is the Hebrew word here. It actually means to roll, to roll. And you think, well, how is that? Roll your way to Him. Think about a bowling alley. Instead of getting that nasty worry and balling all that up, just take your whole way. Wake up in the morning, take your whole day that's set out ahead of you and get your whole way, your whole day, and the path that the Lord has for you. Ball that all up. Think about a bowling alley and deliver it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. You take your way and you just, in the morning, roll it. The Lord's at the end of the lane. He's right behind those 10 pins and He's going to make you get a strike every time if you deliver it to Him. So you deliver your way to Him, strike, because you gave it to Him. You gave Him your day and your way. And He's going to give Him your way, give Him your day. Deliver your way to Him. This is what 1 Peter 5:7 is talking about. Cast your cares on the Lord and He will sustain you. It's kind of the same thing. Roll it over to Him. Give it all to Him. And then what will He do? He promises right here, if you'll do that, He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn. You know what the dawn shines like. I was taking Anna to school the other day, and we have to go down Madison Avenue toward Baldwin, and that sun's right behind us. And the other morning, Thursday or Friday, it was a beautiful sunrise coming up, and there were all these raindrops on the back of our window, and it made this golden splendor. I said, look at that back window, Anna. And she looked back there, and it's just all these beads of water just glowing gold, just like all these diamonds of gold just on that window. And she thought it was beautiful too, I think. But that's what He's going to make you like. If you'll do, if you'll commit your way to Him, if you'll deliver your way to Him every day, He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, like that golden water. And the justice of your cause, like the noonday sun. You know how hot and bright that is. right above you. That's what he's going to do. The next D is don't move. Trust in him. Don't move. He says in verse 7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Don't move. Sometimes he doesn't want you to move at all. He says in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes he wants you to just get alone with him, just be still, where you don't do anything, you're just still. And sometimes you need to do that in the middle of the day. Sometimes you just need to get away somewhere. You just need to be still before him. And don't move. Be still before him and wait patiently for him. Wait patiently for him to show up. Wait patiently for his answer. That's what we see there. And next is diffuse is the next D. Trust in him and diffuse. Diffuse anger. Refrain from anger. We see this in verse 8. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Diffuse anger. I got angry about something yesterday, and I think I got too angry. And I tell you what, the more you listen to God's word and you know God's word, the Holy Spirit brings it to your mind. The Holy Spirit brings it to your mind. I got too angry about something yesterday morning, and the Lord was just saying this in my head. Diffuse anger. Refrain from anger. That's what God wants us to do. Diffuse anger. Don't go to bed angry. Work it out. He doesn't want you to go to sleep on your anger. He says not to even go to bed and let it simmer and let it soothe there. Don't let the devil do his work while you go to sleep. Diffuse anger. Give it to the Lord. Trust in the Lord and diffuse anger. Give it to him. Give it to him. If there's somebody that you're having a conflict with, work it out. Work it out. Work it out before you go to bed. And then in summary, do not fret. It leads only to evil. God's telling us, for evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. So here's the whole summary. Don't fret, trust and do. Don't fret, trust and do. Take that with you. And then take all the D's. Don't fret, trust and do. Do what? Do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord. Deliver your way to the Lord. Don't move. Be still before the Lord. Diffuse anger. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for all these D's and, more importantly, your principles and your word, your promises. Thank you for every one of them. Lord, apply them to our lives and help us to follow you in them. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Chris is going to lead us in a song. And if you have bowed down to the King this morning, for the first time, or maybe you feel like you have not been letting Jesus be Lord over your life, first above everything. Maybe you feel like there's something else you've been putting before the Lord. Well, maybe right now, if the Lord is pulling on your heart and telling you that he's your Lord, he's your God, he's your maker, you can surrender to him right now. Chris is going to lead us in this song, and you can just completely surrender to him and say, you're my King, Jesus. Stand up out of your seat and come and walk down this aisle and declare that. Share that with me. I'll pray for you if you want to come down the aisle. If you need prayer, I can pray for you. But maybe you're surrendering everything to him. Maybe for your salvation. Maybe you know that you're a sinner. You admit that about yourself. You know the penalty is death and hell according to God's word. And maybe today, believing that Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, believing that he came for you and he paid for all your sins on the cross and he's been raised from the dead. Maybe this morning you're coming to him and you're saying, I surrender everything to you, Jesus. Have mercy on me. Come into my life. I give my life to you. If that's you, step out of your seat when Chris leads us. We want to rejoice with you. We want to celebrate that with you. We want to get you on the right path. There's more to do after that. It doesn't just end with that. And maybe that's you. Maybe you need to be baptized. You've already given your life to the Lord, but you haven't followed him in obedience in that way. Come when Chris leads us. Maybe you're joining this church. Come when Chris leads us. Maybe you need to pray at the altar about something. Maybe there's one area that you know in your life you're not surrendering that to Jesus. He's not Lord over that. You've got control of that area. and you know you need to give it all to him, you can pray about that at the altar. Whatever he's telling you to do, you do it as Chris leads.